Joining us now, the voice of the Carolina Panthers, Mick Mixon. What's going on, Mick?
Everything's good. I'm at the stadium. We did Panther Talk tonight, so just walked out with a couple diehard Panther fans. It was a tough loss yesterday, but we will be back. We will fight on.
Yeah, I was going to say, so I'm going to give you the golf analogy here. You know, the first game was a nice birdie against San Francisco. Game two, it was almost like you made a really long par save against Buffalo, kind of after a scrappy little hole. And then yesterday, I would probably equate it to maybe an other against New Orleans.
Tin cup.
So through three games, what's kind of your take on where this team is headed for the first half of the season?
Well, it's been pretty obvious from the start of the season that with Cam Newton shouldered, this was just going to be a different kind of a year. It's the vexing question now that confronts our team is how is Cam Newton going to get the reps that he needs while his shoulder requires rest? I don't know the answer to it. It's possible that he's so incredibly talented that he'll be able to work through it. But football generally is like golf in that it's not that kind of sport. You have to practice. You got to have the reps, and it's worrisome. How do you guys see it working out?
Yeah, I mean it's the enigma wrapped in the puzzle that is Cam heading into the season. It's, you know, how do you get rid of the ring rust if you can't go full speed? And going full speed could cause more damage than it's worth. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if they need to look to change the offense a little, you know, even more significantly to the shorter passing game. But it was not easy to watch on Sunday. And I think for a lot of Panthers fans who looked at this game and had seen New Orleans the first couple weeks of the season, thought this could be a walkover. And while I don't think the Panthers overlooked the Saints, they certainly made the Saints look more formidable than I think they really are. So. Beyond Cam, what, you know, which is a hard thing to address, is there any low-hanging fruit over there that the team can address?
Well, this is a good defense. I think defense is going to be there, and I think Christian McCaffrey is going to be a star. It hurts sometimes to give credit to the opponent, but, you know, I was saying on Panther Talk, our view is so Panther-centric that many times you forget that that's a team that had to have this game. The Panthers wanted this game. The Saints had to have it. If they don't win, they start 0-3 for the third consecutive year. If they don't win, they're getting on an airplane to go to Europe having gotten dipped by the Panthers. Imagine how much longer that flight would have been. So, you know, credit to them. They played well. They changed some things. They countered some of their own schemes and change some things. So I think that the challenge for the Panthers will be don't overthink it. I mean, this is a good football team. We know it's a good team. The defense got a little bit over-aggressive and some poor run sets. And the Panthers got behind, so they started to press a little. I think all the problems, and there are some, but we're 2-1, and the problems are fixable.
Yeah, and you mentioned Christian McCaffrey, who at his selection, I immediately thought, okay, you know, his success is going to be directly related to Coach Shula's ability to make the most of his very unique skill set. Are we there yet? Do we need to do more with him? Where are we in terms of adjusting the offense, you know, to make the most of a guy like Christian McCaffrey?
Oh, I think we're just seeing it. We're not there yet, but I think we've started to see enough. The only thing that I'm aware of that McCaffrey hasn't done yet is throw the ball or broadcast the game.
I'm
hoping that the former comes first.
I was going to say, are you looking to get a tap on the shoulder at one point?
It wouldn't surprise me. That's how talented, and not that you have to be talented to do what we do, but, I mean, McCaffrey is that versatile, and I know the Panthers have some wrinkles. I can't tell you what they are because I love working at the Panthers and I wish to continue. But there are some really interesting little nuances to what we've seen so far that are going to put teams in a bad way.
Yeah, I agree. I want to put you on the defensive side of the ball because you said something about the aggressiveness of the Panthers' defense, and I think the Saints did a really good job almost exposing that. You saw a lot of play action. You saw a lot of misdirection that seemed to get the aggressiveness of the Panthers' defense really working against them. We know that's fixable to a point, but does that almost deter maybe the Panthers from that the aggression that sometimes in certain matchups makes them a really formidable defense? I mean, can that go both ways? Can that hurt you and help you at the same time?
Great point. I think it can, but my takeaway from this game is the following. I think we can conclude this. Any team that the Panthers play that has Drew Brees at quarterback is going to be a handful. So that happens to us twice a year, and Brees is uncommonly skilled at throwing to spots. He throws receivers open. He uses the pump fake like Bruce Lee used nunchucks. He moves young corners around effortlessly. He freezes safeties. He moves safeties with his helmet opening, with his pump fakes. He's thrown for almost 40 miles of NFL yardage, about 67,000 yards. And he'll be a first ballot Hall of Famer. That's not to say the Panthers get a kitchen pass. Carolina's beaten this guy before, and they will again. It was just the Saints' day yesterday.
Well, we're talking to Mick Mixon, the voice of the Panthers, and I'm curious. The NFL season is a marathon. It's not a sprint, and I think we overreact to the things in the short term. And I like to look at the schedule in chunks. And if I look at this next chunk of the Panthers' schedule, they're facing the Patriots, and we know enough about them. The Lions, who we have shown themselves to be more formidable, losing yesterday on some very bizarre rule with the 10-second runoff, the Eagles, who seem to be better, and the Bears. Looking at those next four games before the Panthers get into the meat and the heart of division play, what can we expect from those four games, and how much should we read into those results?
Then you got Tampa Bay after that. I mean, October's a five-game month, and four of them are on the road, and the Buccaneer bandwagon is so full you can't even get a seat on. So. But we've known this. I think we knew going in that October was going to be the month where you at least got to hold your position. To continue on the golf analogy, you got the number one handicap hole, you got the number four handicap hole, you got a tight little par three with water and heavily bunkered, small knobby green. So you just got to make sure you don't lose the tournament in October so that you got a chance to win it later.
Well, of those teams, the ones that we don't see them play as often, the Patriots, Lions, Eagles, and Bears, do the Panthers have, I don't know, is there an easier opponent for the Panthers in there given the matchup?
Easier, one easier than another?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Chicago, when you just look at the teams that are settled at quarterback and then the teams that are unsettled at quarterback. Obviously, New England, Tampa Bay. Detroit has one of the most beautiful throwers of the football ever in Matthew Stafford. I mean, just I would pay money, pay the park, pay the tickets, concession, just to watch him warm up. I mean, he's got that beautiful release. So I say Chicago only because they sort of tried to sort out Glenn and Trubisky. They may be rolling by the time the Panthers get there, but I'm going to pick up this group of teams. I'm going to pick Chicago. How would you guys pick?
Well, the interesting thing about Chicago is, I mean, they start with, you know, the Super Bowl loser Falcons, Tampa Bay, who we thought was a good team, and Pittsburgh. So you're thinking of those three matchups, you think, okay, maybe the best shot they have of being competitive would be the Buccaneers game. Lord, they should have beaten Atlanta. And they had five shots down at the goal line, and then they beat the Steelers. So, you don't know what you're going to get sometimes out of these teams. And lo and behold, we talked about this earlier. You got Jacksonville, and you got the Rams who are both playing well offensively and a little bit defensively. So, man, it's almost to the point where there's no team you want to even consider saying we can beat those guys easily.
Mick, is it parity or is it early season mediocrity that we're seeing?
The team, I'm just listening to you guys talk, and I'm agreeing that the team that you wanted to see was the team we saw yesterday.
Yeah.
And we got spanked. So you can't figure it out. You cannot. I would not bet. I would not wager, and I've never wagered one penny in my life and never would on the outcome. Every time in my life I've thought, I got a good feeling for this game. I think I know what's going to happen. Survey says, wrong.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, you got to start building some confidence, and we've seen this out of this team before. When things are going well, they're as confident a bunch as anybody. When things start to go awry, they become as hindered with confidence as anybody. So where does this go? I mean, again, Patriots, Lions, Eagles, three really good teams, two of those on the road. I mean, you almost think you got to try and steal two of the three.
Oh, I agree. You got to. Yeah, you got to try to just at least come off of this road swing with hopefully a winning record. You know, just above 500 when October ends, and then get hot November and December, get into the playoffs and make a nice deep push. I think the problems that confront the Panthers, as I mentioned earlier, are very fixable. But Buffalo laid out a good plan for how to defense the Cam Newton that we're seeing right now, and until Newton becomes more consistent, and we've always known he can make plays no other quarterback can make. Until he makes the plays that any quarterback should make and does that consistently, we're going to see more of that same kind of defense. Every offense has plays designed to penalize a blitz, and until the Panthers get better at those plays, and Carolina was better yesterday, there were times when Newton looked very comfortable getting rid of the ball quickly to McCaffrey, checking it down, taking the 3 yards that were there. It's just the interceptions marred what could have been an otherwise winning performance.
Now, with what little we've seen from Cam so far and through camp, but you're there, do you see a change in his approach? Is he well-equipped at this point? Is he buying in 100% to the short checkdowns and maybe not having to go deep on every third and long? Do we have full buy-in from Cam on that?
I think so. He's never impressed me more, and I don't speak for the whole franchise. I got to definitely, in case no one thinks that I do, I'm sure, but I just got to say that as a disclaimer. But he hasn't impressed me more ever than he has these last couple weeks. Not playing well in his mind in either of the first three games. And even though you may not like his attire, you may not like the sunglasses or the hat or the silver blazer or the black vest or whatever, that's all fine. That train left the station a long time ago. But listen to what he said. Listen to him accept the criticism, deflect praise, and listen to him promise that the best is yet to be. That's what leadership qualities that any Panther fan can get behind.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's almost like the injury maybe has forced him to mature up a little bit and kind of get things squared away. Is that what you see?
I can't agree with the premise of that question, because that he needed, that he wasn't mature previously, that he needed to get squared away. Cam just always had a heart for kids, a heart for his foundation, a heart for his teammates. He's, near as I can figure, the police have never been called to his house, all kind of crazy stuff. He's been a solid citizen, a really good pro. Now, is he more mature at 27 in his seventh NFL season than he was when he was younger? I would say definitely yes. Football will humble you. I mean, it's like, again, it's like golf. Think of the trained assassins that in the Kemper Open missed a 18-inch putt on Thursday and were never the same after that.
That is true.
You don't want Cam thinking too hard about it. You don't want any kind of performance anxiety to creep in. He's got enough pressure on his axe handle shoulders as it is.
Well, Mick, man, we always love talking to you and getting a little Panther talk in. Have a great week, and we'll catch up with you soon.
You guys, too. Thanks for the visit.